Thanks for listening to the Adam and Dr. Drew Show on Podcast One.
All right. Well, I'm telling you, I keep getting punished. You know, I've got COVID fatigue, and now, buddy, I got diverticulitis on top of it. So I'll give you a full report. And yeah, I want to also talk about immunity. The one thing I can look forward to being so sick is immunity. Don't take that away from me.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. Thank you to our sponsors, Headspace and Jordan Harbinger and LifeLock. Dr. Drew's board-certified physician. Physician, heal thyself.
Good. Damn, you are funny, man.
Yeah, man, it's good stuff. He's at the homestead for one more batch of shows because of the whole COVID thing. So health update on you. How are you feeling?
So ordeal and a half. So I was slowly getting better. And then all of a sudden yesterday started getting worse again. And I couldn't understand what was going on. And lo and behold, during the middle of the night, developed full-blown diverticulitis. So now I've got diverticulitis on top of COVID. And diverticulitis is a deep-seated infection in your colon. It causes a little localized peritonitis, and it makes you fatigued as hell. So now I have COVID fatigue and diverticulitis fatigue. It's really, woo, oh, my God. But
how do you, Go.
How do I what?
How do you know you got the diverticulitis?
Because I get about once a year, I get very characteristic symptoms where my bladder hurts, and then I get left lower quadrant pain, and then it gets bad, and then I get fatigued, and I always spent in gas and something called tenesmus, you know, where you can't pass stool through because it's all inflamed in there, and it always takes me about 6 hours to figure out what's going on. I'm like, why can't I pee? What's going on here? And then after a while, I go, oh shit, this again, and it's very unpleasant. I got to tell you, but. The good news is the COVID part, my breathing is a lot better, and I kind of feel like the end zone is in sight. You know what I mean? I may be trudging into the red zone a little bit here with the COVID.
Mm-hmm. Oh, into the red zone, like the 20, inside the 20.
Exactly.
Okay. Well,
that's good.
That's good,
right? Mm-hmm. It's good, yeah. And you've been kindly checking in on me every day, and I appreciate that. It's been... Things an ordeal and a half. Get the vaccine, everybody. Get the vaccine. Do you notice that the LA County has been such an abject failure with their vaccine rollout that the city is taking over now? You see that?
No, I did not know that, but obviously it's not. When you see how the city is run or the county is run, it certainly wouldn't surprise you, because I wouldn't look at rolling out a vaccine as rolling out a vaccine. I would look at it as implementing something important in a timely and orderly fashion. It really wouldn't matter if it was the homeless or, you know, getting clunkers, gas, you know, air polluting clunker cars off the road, like whatever it is we're attempting to implement, whether it's, the power company or clearing the brush and the forest fires or whatever we attempt to implement, or whether it was like the EDD stuff with the unemployment and the prisoners getting it from their prison cells. Like, we fuck up everything. Like, I wouldn't take this personally. We have bad legislators and we have bad governance and we fuck
everything.
We fuck up everything. So this is just one more thing we're fucking up.
However, you know, I will always give credit where credit is due, and hats off to Garcetti for taking over. He's actually doing a much better job. I got my office staff vaccinated yesterday. He's doing a much better job than the county has done. Hats off to him, man. Good for you. He does something, you know, that we can tip our hat to.
I haven't heard anything from the Grim Reaper, Barbara Ferrer, for a little while, but I haven't been watching a ton of news. I don't know where we're at with that L.A. County. It was always, you know, doom and gloom. That's all I've heard for the last several weeks, but I don't know where we're at now.
I don't know where we're at either, because I've only heard doom and gloom for the past 9 months. When we were at 200 cases a day, it was grim, staggering, cataclysmic. And then we were at 15,000 cases a day. And same thing. I don't know which is bad. 200, 15,000, 30,000? I can't tell anymore. No, we're coming down a little bit. The big problem is the hospitalizations. And I'm here to tell you, did we talk about this last time, how strongly I feel people should stay out of the hospital and how to do that?
Yeah, we got into that. And again, it'd be one of the things, you know, possibly you could take those big freeway signs instead of riding slow for the cone zone. You could put something on that had a little more of a meaningful message about not going to the hospital.
There's a website called speakwithanmd.com that has been very useful in getting the medications that for whatever reason other doctors aren't prescribing. Gary just told me a story about how, you know, a friend of his contacted someone and they said bamlanivimab is not given as an outpatient. It is only given as an outpatient, and it's covered by all insurances. If you're in Kaiser, you're going to have trouble getting it, but everybody else can get it. And your doctor just applies it to CORAM, C-O-R-A-M. Please, everybody, there's all kinds of things to be done to keep people out of the hospital. Use telemedicine, you know, use Heal or whatever, but Speak with an MD has been good. And then get treatments and stay home and stay out of the hospital, for God's sakes. The prognosis gets worse as soon as you get into the hospital. They're short of beds. You shouldn't go to the ER. We should be educating people how to use our healthcare system. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know what you mean. I mean, what if we just put speakwithanmd.com on all the freeway signs? Wouldn't that be impactful?
Exactly.
Right?
Maybe. Who knows? Well, they have a backlog. They were expecting a shortage, but they have a backlog because doctors aren't prescribing it. Crazy.
Yeah, well, again, like I said, everyone in Los Angeles travels the freeways on a daily basis. There's thousands of those signs spread out all over the Southland. And if they want to put some information now, to be fair to them, they have the put your mask on information. But I feel like people have gotten the message with the mask. And then there's click it or ticket. So that's about it. But it'd be nice if they started steering people to websites where they could get information versus checking themselves or showing up at the hospital.
As I believe I also mentioned last time, which is, please, everybody, don't be heedless. Be very careful and do the things you're supposed to do, but please live. As a casualty on the field of battle, the being sick and thinking that people's lives are being ruined out there by our government, it's just emotionally so overwhelming. This whole thing has been weird neurologically too. I mean, emotionally, like, I couldn't watch all the stuff last week going on in Washington. I just couldn't watch it. It's really weird. Like, everything overwhelms me. Everything is too emotional. I can't have conversations about it. It's very weird.
Were you able to watch The Love Boat?
You know what? I've gotten off the...
Couple things.
A little bit off of the Pluto TV, because I was, you know, 50 Addams Families in. And the episode that we discussed last time with the on-land intrigue jumped the shark so badly for me, I couldn't watch any more Love Boat. I hated that episode. I hated it.
Yeah.
And by the way, remind yourself that emotionally I'm weird right now. I'm like really weird. And so when I get a distaste, the taste is like I can't handle it. I can't look at another Love Boat.
I don't have COVID, but I had the same reaction. As soon as they hit the land, there's trouble. Now, there's no railing scenes once they get to the land. You know what I mean? They can't go out and have the forlorn look over the railing and then have their strange husband walk up to them 14 seconds later and apologize. By the way, the biggest scam that Love Boat perpetrates is how quickly women respond to an apology. It's, 18 years of a horrible marriage where the guy's emotionally and verbally abusive, and then 25 seconds at the railing, and all is forgiven.
And it's always under the conceit, it's, that's all I've been asking for. That's all I've ever wanted.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. That solves everything.
Well, all right. So Drew's recovering.
Yeah.
But now you got
Slow but sure.
Now you got something else. Diverticulitis.
Yes. And the thing about diverticulitis, because it's a deep-seated infection and it's like a local peritonitis, it causes fatigue. Like, it really wipes you out. And then I'm just emerging from the COVID fatigue. It's kind of a 1-2 punch today. So, you know, it's going to take me the rest of the week to fully regain. But at least, I can see I'm nearly in the red zone. I feel like the red zone is ahead for me. I can get there. There's a bit of a fumble, but I recovered the ball.
Okay. All right. Staying with the football analogies. I like it. How's everyone else in your home?
So Jordan had the full flu syndrome, and he's fully recovered. He's fully recovered. Mm-hmm. And he tries to have conversations with me, and I can't handle it. I can't handle conversations with anybody. But he's good. He's back at school, and that's done with him. He's free to move about the cabin now. There is a weird and interesting phenomenon that you're not allowed. Part of the mob right now is you're not allowed to have immunity. You can't be immune from COVID. Mm-hmm. Like the move now is, oh, you can still pass it. And let me be really clear. There's not an infectious disease on the planet that you can have broad, intense immunity to and then pass it to other people. That does not exist.
Well,
and so this idea that that's going to be a thing is no.
Yeah. Well, let me give you my sort of psychological. Let me give my kind of psychological thought on that, because I think you'll find this an interesting thought experiment. So here's my little thought experiment. You say, you get COVID, you come out the other end, you have immunity, and then you turn on the news and there's a bunch of people trying to talk you out of your immunity.
Right.
Which is
exactly
something that is scientific and scientific. It exists in all other viruses. And so what are they doing? And I was thinking about this the other day. I always think, let's look at the data, but then let's also look at the action. So I was talking to my kids about when are you going back to school? And the answer is never, or who knows. Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Now,
oh my God.
There's obviously no danger posed to going back to school. Certainly, there's no data that would suggest it's dangerous for kids to go back to schools. Schools are open all over the world, all over the country and all over the world, but not in Los Angeles, not in California. So what are we talking about? Well, here's a question. Here's my thought experiment. What if the teachers wanted to go back?
Interesting.
Don't you think things would change? I mean,
yes, they would.
Well, you look at it this way. There is no danger in going back. So what if they wanted to go back? What if you said to the folks at LA Unified that you got paid an extra 40% every day you're in the classroom? Do you not think things would change? Would they shift?
I think they would shift.
Well,
I think you're right.
Then if that's the answer, then maybe there's something more afoot here than just the science. And what if the people on MSNBC wanted to report happy news on COVID? Don't you think they would talk about immunity after being infected versus it's still dangerous?
Right. You'd be. I'm actually working with a group called Additics, where they are measuring the immunity. So I'm meeting with a guy this afternoon where I'm going to go over my antibody response. He gave me a sort of preliminary read, which is that I have many proteins I'm reacting to, not just the spike protein, and I have an intense reaction above and beyond the vaccine levels, which is huge to me. It's like, this is great news, because when you hear about these novel viruses coming in and maybe, you know, the vaccine is going to maybe not catch all of them, this is a big deal for people like me that have been through this. The idea of going through it again makes me want to jump off a building. By the way, did you hear that Kevin went through it again from Kevin and Bean?
Yeah, you brought that up. I didn't hear about it other than from you.
I called him, and he's had 7 days of fever, man. The guy is sick. And it freaked me out. That's actually why I went ahead and got my immune scores done, because I'm thinking I'm going to take the vaccine if there's any evidence that my immunity, first the humoral part, the antibody part can drop, which it normally does, but you can then start to measure memory cells and helper cells that leave behind enough immune response that you can muster a good response if you're re-exposed. But if that fails, then I got to get the vaccine. So I'm going to be monitoring very carefully on this.
Well, why did Kevin not get immunity?
He had it, he said. So he was sick. He wasn't tested for COVID. He then was tested for the antibodies 3 times and was positive. And on the 3rd or 4th time, he turned negative, and then he got sick. And that's what I call a pretty good anecdote. It's a pretty good case for immunity being temporary in some cases. So we should be measuring that. So that's what I'm going to do.
How long did he have his immunity?
Well, 6 months, which is about what you expect, right?
So he had a span of 6 months between getting infected with COVID?
Yes, that's what we thought was going on with him. Yes, absolutely.
6 months in between infections.
And that's about kind of what happens. I mean, we've sort of seen, you've heard out there in the press, all the gloom and doom, antibody response goes away in 6 months. Yeah, yeah. And we can measure that, and now we can vaccinate people for whom that happens. So there's a lot to be done. There's really a lot to be done.
What?
And this is your point about the gloom and doom stuff. I talked to a psychiatrist yesterday who felt that there's a mass delusional psychosis going on in our country. And that it's been propagated by this, you know, this fear mongering.
Yeah, you have to ask yourself, what is attractive about the fear? Why is that attractive? It wouldn't work if it wasn't attractive. I don't mean attractive positive. I mean just attractive. Why is it attractive? Why is it alluring?
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well,
it's mystifying to me.
But you do get all of those, you know, TV shows about abductions and, you know, children being snatched up and all that kind of stuff. I think it's a pretty, I think I covered it in 50 Years Will All Be Chicks, which is what's attractive about fear was not traditionally the realm of the male brain. We were not attracted to fear. The females were attracted to the fear and the males were attracted to whatever, progress, adventure. I don't know. The point is this, I've said this many times. This is let me riddle you this, Drew. Can you hear me? There's something going on.
I do hear you.
Something with
I do hear you.
Drew's camera's kind of on and off. So
there you go. I do hear you. I do.
Okay. So, traditionally, half the society is women, half the society is men, half the society amongst the women are attracted to fear. I've not known any women that weren't attracted to that. They like watching those Nancy Grace abduction shows and it could happen to you and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's fear based. It made for a balance because, you know, the guy was saying to the young boy, climb up the ladder and clean the gutters. And then the mom was saying, what if you fall off the ladder? And then you'd have to kind of strike an agreement, right? There'd be a balance, right? So it'd be,
break your neck.
Well, the gutters need to be clean, but now we have to do it in such a way where mom will sign off on it because there's a safety issue, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So now that coaxed a certain percentage of men over to the other side to essentially assume the role of the woman and be fear-based, well, then, of course, society's going to shift as well. So now you have 50% of society being fear-based, and now you're going to introduce another 25%, which is dudes wearing wooden bracelets, over to that side as well. And this is where we land.
But you know, there's a couple of thoughts I have on that. One is you're really talking about hysteria, and I'm wondering why we find hysteria. I mean, most of history, hysteria wasn't something appealing or satisfying. You know what I mean? You wouldn't like it in someone else, and you wouldn't like it in yourself.
Yes.
And somehow we have come to value hysteria, which is interesting.
Well, and I would say I don't. I'll go beyond value. We celebrate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Why?
It's celebrated.
It's unappealing. It's very unappealing.
It's unappealing to you and I, but not to the pussies who fucking celebrate it. All the pussies on Twitter and all those people, they're celebrated.
It's so weird. I feel like I'm not just in the upside down, but I'm in the inside out. Mm-hmm. Like I spent a lot of my days, and again, as I told you, I'm emotionally raw because of this infection, and it sort of amplifies everything. But I spent a lot of my day just going, I can't understand it. I can't get it. What are we doing? Why is this appealing? Why can't we? Isn't it more appealing just get on with life and get working and have your relationships and keep your head down? Isn't that more appealing to people? Am I missing something?
Yeah. I mean, let's circle back to LA Unified School teachers, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't it more appealing just to get back to life, to get back to work? What if you don't want to go back to work? What if you don't want to go back to life?
But that's weird, though. That's not, I get that, but that's not, it's so unhealthy and so unappealing. That's the part that's confusing to me.
It's unhealthy, but is it unappealing to stay home and get paid?
It's natural. It takes your legs out, right? It's of course that's human motivational systems. But again, as somebody who's stuck in bed for 2 weeks, I don't dig it. I want to go live.
Well, you are wired a little differently than most, I will say. All right, let's see. I'll just go down the line. Keith, 43, Los Angeles.
Hey, Adam, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, hey, what's going
Andrew.
On?
Yeah, hey.
No, nothing. I was just watching the news coverage last week about the riots in D.C. and you know, no question, those were rioters last week that stormed the Capitol. But it got me thinking about the coverage over the summer in Santa Monica and the caption. And they referred to it last week as just rioters over and over. And the caption was rioters over and over. And so I went to YouTube and I pulled up all the coverage of NBC News over the summer in Santa Monica. And constantly it was protesters. And there was one caption where these guys are breaking through this window of REI. And the caption was protesters.
Right.
And I was just curious as to when, you know, when that changed, when the nightly news became, you know, sort of a commentary and not just reporting the news. It was just, it was fascinating. Uh-huh. Made me think of you guys.
Well, thanks, Keith. Yeah, I always told Drew, you know, pay close attention to the language, right? Yeah. So listen to what they do when they sort of soft pedal things or hard pedal things, or, like I said, little things like when they say, you know, when the LA County health czar comes out and says, it appears that COVID is not quite as dangerous for people under 20, you know, like that kind of stuff. Like, what do you mean not yeah. quite as dangerous?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Or do you fucking mean almost non-existent?
Right. It's miserable, but not dangerous, period.
Right. You could state that you have a college degree. So why are you choosing your words? What are you doing with your words?
Well, this is back to the hysteria conversation. Why is it appealing to make people hysterical? Why isn't your job to motivate and to, you know, dampen down the fear?
Right. But here's why this is useful for the news, saying one group is protesters and other groups are rioters. At least it should let you know where they stand, right?
Yep. Yep. That's true.
Do you ever think about this, Drew?
Yeah.
Think about how an attorney would speak about a client they were representing versus prosecuting.
Right. That's exactly it. It's a great point.
They would say, my client, a peaceful protester, got caught up in a mob and they ended up inside a Big Five with a mountain bike over his head. But he wouldn't call him a rioter, would he?
No, or a criminal or a looter.
Right. Now, but if he was a prosecutor, what would he call him? Wouldn't call him a protester. Right.
No, he would have very, very specific ideas about that.
Now you get a good idea what the news is doing, right?
Yeah.
By how they choose their words.
Yeah. No, I get it. That's what's happening. And it's, I think, though, there's a little bit of good news embedded in all this, and I'm hearing it from millennials a little bit, which is they're choosing they get that the news is everywhere is a lie. That's a distortion. And they're trying to cull together their own sense of what the facts are, which is that's good news. That's good. It's just hard to find the facts on the internet. That's the problem.
Right. All right. Let's see. Somebody's got on the same vein down the line. Line two, Evan 30 Boston question.
Hey,
yeah,
Adam, Dr. Drew, how you doing?
Hi, guy.
Hey.
Hey. Thanks for taking the call. I really appreciate it. And just to clarify, Adam, I'm actually in Austin, Texas, not Boston.
Oh.
I think you said Boston. Yeah.
Okay. In Austin. There we go.
So just right before I get into my question, I just wanted to say real quick, you know, when you guys talk about hysteria a lot, I have a thing called you know, as people get older and sort of some people, at least more frail, more fragile, more hysterical.
Yes. Yes,
I call
it true.
Like a Benjamin Button complex. You know,
mm-hmm.
I genuinely don't understand it. People getting younger as they get older mentally.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you should have thicker skin when you go through more of life. It really doesn't make any sense to me.
It's a great observation. And let me just tell you, there's a Yiddish term for this. It's called spielkes, which is that as you get older, your brain's much like what I'm experiencing now post COVID. Aging does the same thing to the brain. It makes you easily overwhelmed. It makes it harder to process things. It's like the bandwidth is overwhelmed easily, and the response to it is often anxiety. People get anxious really easily as they get older in response to challenges or overwhelming input, you know, sensory input, that kind of stuff. So it's not abnormal. That's a normal thing for people to get more spielkes as they get older. But you're right that they also should have greater perspective. And the anxiety stuff kicks in much later, like 80s and 90s.
Here's the problem. We used to put an emphasis on something called wisdom, and the wisdom would offset the spielkes. But now there's no more wisdom. It's all fucking spielkes. I know.
You use more your Yiddish, Adam, please.
Spielkes. I was talking to my spielkes ridden dad about two or three years ago. The guy's like 86 years old, and he was screaming that Trump was taking kids at the border and throwing them in cages. And I thought, oh, Jesus Christ. There's no age that's impervious to this shit.
And I mean, I really do want to get to my question in a second. So I hope we can, you know,
spit it out.
But, okay. So my question is, it's pretty broad, but you know, in general, are you guys hopeful that this is going to be a better year in broad terms? Are you?
All right. I'm going to answer that.
I wasn't until last week.
It'll be whatever year you make it. It'll be whatever year you make it. You want to get busy. You want to take care of your family. You want to take care of business. You want to explore. You want to meditate. You want to take walks on the beach. You want to work out. You want to eat right. You want to start projects. It'll be whatever year you make it. I don't know how we're going to do it collectively, but I'm saying we're all just in charge of our own sanity at this point. And, you know, I lived through the same COVID year that everyone else lived through. I just chose not to be consumed by it.
Well, let's talk about that, because I feel like, again, I'm in a weird state, that there's a lot in the way of me moving about and living my life.
Well, that's the challenge.
And I don't like that, but I do plan to keep my head down and just start moving, just start going, man. I'm worried. I must tell you, maybe tomorrow or next show we'll talk about this, but I'm worried that they're going to martyr the president and really mobilize a crazy group. That would be the worst possible plan, it seems to me. You know, somehow arresting him or putting him out of office, and then that group just gets galvanized. I think that's a terrible idea.
Still's not going to stop you from your appointed emotional rounds if you focus. All right, January 15th, 16th, this weekend, coming up Naples, Florida, off the Hook Comedy Club's going to sell out soon, so get on that. They canceled the show at Flappers, or the Flappers Burbank Pickwick Bowl show, so that's off. You can go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and watch all our free stand-up at youtube.com/adamcarolla. Drew!
Craziness with my COVID illness. Suddenly my streaming shows are super popular, so check them out at drdrew.com. I find it bizarre that getting sick somehow is a controversy, but here we are.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.